Part 2. Hacker Republic. May 1st to 22nd. An Irish law from the year 697 forbids women to be soldiers, which means that women had been soldiers previously. Peoples who over the centuries have recruited female soldiers include Arabs, Berbers, Kurds, Rajputs, Chinese, Filipinos, Maoris, Papuans, Micronesians, and American Indians. There is a wealth of legend about fearsome female warriors from ancient Greece. These tales speak of women who were trained in the art of war from childhood, in the use of weapons and how to cope with physical privation. They lived apart from the men and went to war in their own regiments. The tales tell us that they conquered men on the field of battle. Amazons occur in Greek literature in the Iliad of Homer, for example, in 600 BC. It was the Greeks who coined the term Amazon. The word literally means without breast. It is said that in order to facilitate the drawing of a bow, the female's right breast was removed either in early childhood or with a red-hot iron after she became an adult. Even though the Greek physicians Hippocrates and Galen are said to have agreed that this operation would enhance the ability to use weapons, it is doubtful whether such operations were actually performed. Herein lies a linguistic riddle, whether the prefix a in their language does indeed mean without. It has been suggested that it means the opposite, that an Amazon was a woman with especially large breasts. Nor is there a single example in any museum of a drawing, amulet, or statue of a woman without her right breast, which should have been a common motif had the legend about breast amputation been based on fact. Chapter 8. Sunday, May 1st to Monday, May 2nd. Berger took a deep breath as the elevator door opened and she walked into the editorial offices of Svenska Morgenposten. It was 10:15 in the morning. She was dressed for work in black pants, a red sweater, and a dark jacket. It was glorious May 1st weather, and on her way through the city she had noticed that the workers' groups had begun to gather. It dawned on her that she had not been part of such a parade in more than 20 years. For a moment she stood, alone and invisible, next to the elevator doors. First day on the job. She could see a large part of the editorial office with a news desk in the centre. She saw the glass doors of the editor-in-chief's office, which was now hers. She was not at all sure right now that she was the person to lead the sprawling organisation that comprised SMP. It was a gigantic step up from Millennium with a minimal staff to a daily newspaper with 80 reporters and another 90 people in administration, with IT personnel, layout artists, photographers and advertising reps. Add to that a publishing house, a production company, and a management company. More than 230 people. As she stood there, she asked herself whether the whole thing hadn't been an enormous mistake. Then the older of the two receptionists noticed who had just come into the office. She got up, came out from behind the counter, and extended her hand.
Fru Berger, welcome to SMP. Call me Erica. Hello. Beatrice, welcome. Shall I show you where to find Editor-in-Chief Moranda? I should say outgoing Editor-in-Chief. Thank you. I see him sitting in the glass cage over there, said Berger with a smile. I can find my way, but thanks for the offer.
She walked briskly through the newsroom and was aware of the drop in noise level. She felt everyone's eyes upon her. She stopped at the half-empty news desk and gave a friendly nod.
We'll introduce ourselves properly in a while, she said,
and then walked over to knock on the door of the glass cubicle. The departing editor-in-chief, Håkan Moranda, had spent 12 years in the glass cage. Just like Berger, he had been headhunted from outside the company, so he had once taken that very same first walk to his office. He looked up at her, puzzled, and then stood up.
"Hello, Erica," he said. "I thought you were starting tomorrow."
"I couldn't stand sitting at home one more day, so here I am."
Moranda held out his hand.
"Welcome. I can't tell you how glad I am that you're taking over."
"How are you feeling?" Berger said.
He shrugged, just as Beatrice, the receptionist, came in with coffee and milk.
"It feels as though I'm already operating at half speed. Actually, I don't want to talk about it. You walk around feeling like a teenager and immortal your whole life, and suddenly there isn't much time left. But one thing's for sure, I don't intend to spend the rest of it in this glass cage."
He rubbed his chest. He had heart and artery problems, which was the reason for his going and why Berger was to start several months earlier than originally announced. Berger turned and looked out over the landscape of the newsroom. She saw a reporter and a photographer heading for the elevator, perhaps on their way to cover the May Day parade.
Hawken, if I'm being a nuisance or if you're busy today, I'll come back tomorrow or the day after.
Today's task is to write an editorial on the demonstrations. I could do it in my sleep. If the Pinkos want to start a war with Denmark, then I have to explain why they're wrong. If the Pinkos want to avoid a war with Denmark, I have to explain why they're wrong.
Denmark?
Correct. The message on May Day has to touch on the immigrant integration question. The Pinkos, of course, no matter what they say, are wrong.
He burst out laughing.
Always so cynical?
Welcome to SMP.
Erica had never had an opinion about Miranda. He was an anonymous power figure among the elite of editors-in-chief. In his editorials he came across as boring and conservative, expert in complaining about taxes and a typical libertarian when it came to freedom of the press. But she had never met him in person.
Do you have time to tell me about the job?
I'm gone at the end of June. We'll work side by side for 2 months. You'll discover positive things and negative things. I'm a cynic, so mostly I see the negative things.
He got up and stood next to her to look through the glass at the newsroom.
You'll discover that you're going to have a number of adversaries out there. Daily editors and veterans among the editors who have created their own little empires. They have their own club that you can't join. They'll try to stretch the boundaries, to push through their own headlines and angles. You'll have to fight hard to hold your own.
Berger nodded.
Your night editors are Billinger and Carlson. They're a whole chapter unto themselves. They hate each other, and, important, they don't work the same shift, but they both act as if they're publishers and editors-in-chief. Then there's Anders Holm, the news editor. You'll be working with him a lot. You'll have your share of clashes with him. In point of fact, he's the one who gets SMP out every day. Some of the reporters are prize prima donnas, and some of them should really be put out to pasture.
Have you got any good colleagues?
Miranda laughed again.
Oh, yes, but you're going to have to decide for yourself which ones you can get along with. Some of the reporters out there are seriously good.
How about management?
Magnus Borgshaw is the CEO. He was the one who recruited you. He's charming. A bit old school and yet at the same time a bit of a reformer. But above all, he's the one who makes the decisions. Some of the board members, including several from the family which owns the paper, mostly seem to sit and kill time, while others flutter around, professional board member types.
You don't seem to be exactly enamoured of your board.
There's a division of labour. We put out the paper, they take care of the finances. They're not supposed to interfere with the content, but situations do crop up. To be honest, Erica, between the two of us, this is going to be tough.
Why's that?
Circulation has dropped by nearly 150,000 copies since the glory days of the 60s, and there may soon come a time when SMP is no longer profitable. We've reorganised, cut more than 180 jobs since 1980. We went over to tabloid format, which we should have done 20 years sooner. SMP is still one of the big papers, but it wouldn't take much for us to be regarded as a second-class paper, if it hasn't already happened.
Why did they pick me, then?
Berger said.
Because the median age of our readers is 50+, and the growth in readers in their 20s is almost zero. The paper has to be rejuvenated, and the reasoning among the board was to bring in the most improbable editor-in-chief they could think of.
A woman?
Not just any woman. The woman who crushed Wennerström's empire, who is considered the queen of investigative journalism, and who has a reputation for being the toughest. Picture it. It's irresistible. If you can't rejuvenate this paper, nobody can. SMP isn't just hiring Erika Berger. We're hiring the whole mystique that goes with your name.